Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island chains nation in the sunny slave South Pacific. It's not only fluoridated, it's also Fukushima irradiated, which, according to the Prime Minister, is good for the economy because now everybody can get a part-time job as an energy saver light bulb. And my very special guest is Richard Dolan, coming at us from the eastern seaboard of the United States, the Hurricane Sandy Hook epicenter. And I wanted to get that perspective from you now about abductions. There's so many stories about abductions out there. You know, my conclusion is, oh yeah, abductions are happening, and they're happening numerous times all over the place. Americans tend to talk about them a heck of a lot more because, you know, it's in freedom of speech and so on and so forth. But the rest of the world, they kind of hush up about it a little bit, you know. Like in Europe, for example, you start coming out and saying that you're a UFO abductee, people think you're fucking nuts. You have a hell of a lot more warm reception in the United States to this kind of information. And of course, this is where a lot of the major UFO conferences are held, of course, in the United States, because it's just got that kind of vibe, man. What is your perspective on why people are being abducted? Are they aliens? Are they interdimensional entities? Or are they just, you know, military black ops dressed up in spacesuits and stuff like that, trying to freak people out and induct them into some kind of crazy MK Ultra mind control experiment?
Yeah, great question. Well, I think there are definitely abductions that do take place, and we have to ask ourselves who is behind them. I think there are definitely military abductions. In my opinion, this is something that does happen. But I am of the opinion that there are just too many of these encounters, and they're just not all military. And there's too much going. Let me give you a perfect example why I believe this is happening. First of all, you have a lot of literature. You've got a lot of research done by very well-known abduction researchers, going back to people like Bud Hopkins and John Mack and individuals today. But I myself have interviewed a number of individuals that I think were abductees. And I don't do hypnotic regression. I don't get into that much, but I'm a pretty good listener. I know how to keep someone calm, and I'm not bad at getting them to tell me what they remember as far as they can remember it. And here's something that I've noticed with all of these individuals, is that there are significant memory blocks that are put in there. Now, someone is doing this because they don't want these people to remember, but inevitably the memories come out. Two cases in point. I just want to emphasize how traumatic abductions are to people and why they're not a big joke. Like a lot of comedians and other people will make fun of this, and they shouldn't. I chatted on one occasion with a woman who I think is about 60, a science writer.
Could I interject here for a second?
Yeah, go ahead.
It's like making fun of a rape victim.
Absolutely, you know, it is.
It's not funny.
Because these are people who, I'll tell you two very quick stories here. In both cases, I was the first person that either of these individuals spoke to. It was a man and a woman. And it had been 30 and 40 years, respectively. And they just had lived with this experience, not knowing who to go to. In the case of the woman, she was about 60, a very intelligent, well-traveled person who is published, a published author. And she told me of an event that happened 40 years before, when she was about 20 years old, on a date with a guy, and she started hyperventilating within 5 minutes of telling me. She actually, her heart was racing. I had to tell her like three or four times, calm down, calm down, calm down. We had so many stops and starts of this interview. We finally got it done. And what ended up happening is that she had missing time from this experience. I think in her case, it was about two and a half hours of missing time. And a more frightening one was in the case of this man that I spoke to. It was a truck driver, and he had an event that was 30 years before. By the way, that woman had many, many multiple experiences throughout much of her life. This truck driver was out fishing with some people late at night in Ohio. He was a young guy. And the last thing that he remembered with these three other people in their fishing boat was this bright light coming right down after it had been maneuvering. And then the next thing he remembered was the four of them standing on the shore screaming, seeing this huge disc-shaped craft above them, screaming, "It's coming for us." And then it takes off. And that's when they discovered they had three, I think possibly 4 hours of missing time. And this guy said, as they were going home, "If any of you ever discuss this, ever, I'll call you a liar, I'll deny it, because we are never supposed to talk about this, ever." And as he was telling me the story, he said, "I have no idea, Richard, why I felt the need to do that, except that I think that they implanted some kind of like moral imperative inside me to make me never discuss this again, so that if he ever felt that he was even thinking of it, it was almost like committing a crime. You know, you just put it out." But somehow the memories leaked through. This is an intense, awesome capability that is being done to these people. I don't think all of these abductors are human military black ops. I think some may be. But we're talking about exotic technology, really, really off the charts. The last example, I don't want to just keep throwing one abduction story after another at you, but there was a famous case known as the Allagash abduction. Anyone who's familiar with the literature has heard of this. It took place in the 1970s. Four guys on a fishing trip in the state of Maine, which is all wilderness, lots and lots of wilderness. And these guys are out there for days. And the four of them had a very, very intense, profound experience. They did go through hypnotic regression. I know two of these guys personally, had very, very long conversations with them. And all I can say is their memories are clearly that of dealing with non-human entities aboard what can only be described as a kind of flying saucer craft. Now, is it a screen memory put in by human abductors? I suppose it's possible, but I would just ask, really? Like that well, that many times? It doesn't make any sense to me. What makes much more sense is that you've got others, whoever they are, they're not us. There are too many of these. And they're not all American stories. There are abduction stories from around the world. So if this is a U.S. black op, they're sure getting around. There have been a couple of surveys done by abduction researchers that seem to indicate this is a lot more widespread than people realize. Now, those are controversial conclusions. I will grant you that. But my own opinion is that there's a lot going on here that we're not acknowledging that is pretty widespread. And I just don't think it's all human black ops. I think some of it is. And I think the reason that it is because some of these people are taken are persons of extreme interest. On one hand, certainly you might take them for reasons of counterintelligence. You want to find out what are these ETs doing, for example. Or maybe the aliens and the black budget people are taking these people for the same reason. Some of these people seem to have very good psychic gifts, for example. They seem to be of interest for one or another reason. And it seems to me entirely possible that the human black budget military is just as aware of these people with gifts as some of these, let's call them aliens, might be, if that's what they are. It's a crazy, crazy phenomenon. I mean, this is the fringe of the fringe. UFOs are fringe enough in our society. Abductions, people have to realize it took many, many, many years for researchers to even acknowledge that there were such things as alien abduction. It took a long time for researchers to come around to this idea. It's pretty entrenched now, but it took many decades.
Mm. Now, I wonder if that's true what you say, if they're looking for persons of interest, that would mean that both aliens and the black ops people have persons of interest of their own agendas, you know, their own persuasions. What is it that they're looking for? Okay, because I remember this this movie, Eight-Legged Freaks, about giant spiders, and there's a section in it where there's a radio host in this small little town, and he's kind of like this crazy conspiracy guy or whatever, and he's like, "Let's talk about the anal probe. What are they looking for up there?"
Right.
You know, and you know, it just reminded me of it now, because it's like, what are they looking for?
Well, I think one agenda that I agree is happening is that of biological manipulation. probably the most famous researcher who's really hit this theme is David Jacobs. I know David. He lives in Philadelphia. He's written a number of books, interviewed and regressed a lot of individuals. It's his opinion that there is a program to develop a hybrid human-alien species to enable these other beings to live here on Earth without really much of a hassle. Because, I mean, you think about it on that level. If you and I were to go to another planet, it's unlikely that we would be able to walk around on the surface of that world. I mean, you've got different solar radiation, you've got different bacteria, all of these things. So you would want to maybe customize your species so that you could do that. That's what Jacobs believes. I think that there's probably something to that.
So are you saying it's kind of like a reverse Anunnaki type thing? Like Anunnaki came here and manipulated us to become a slave species, and now the aliens are coming here to kidnap people so that they can genetically manipulate themselves so that they can come here.
Yeah, good way to put it. I think that's probably how Jacobs would put it, or at least along those lines. I have a couple of personal problems with it. I don't find it that it's a perfect theory. One reason that I don't is because I have encountered a number of individuals who have themselves encountered human-looking beings that are not human, in my opinion. So, in other words, you don't need hybrids when you have completely human-looking beings that I think are actually not us. And there's a number of these stories that I have come across. So I don't really see the logic of an alien hybrid, unless maybe it's a different alien species. Who knows is doing that? And anything's possible in this thing. We're still pressing our face against the glass into a dark room, and we can't really see everything. But I think one reason that there are persons of interest, I want to get back to that, is that it seems to me that a key dimension, a key aspect of the UFO phenomenon is that these other beings have some sort of mastery over space-time itself. And I know this is getting real science fiction-y for some people, but we have to remind ourselves that our own contemporary physics is showing us that our common sense notions of what is space and what is time really don't apply anyway. And that these other beings, if you go through the research, you go through the reports, they do seem to have a way of manipulating space and time in ways that ordinarily we can't. Moreover, that there is an important telepathic connection that some of these beings are able to have with some of us. You get this again and again and again. And I will just share with you, I've told this from time to time, but not frequently, I myself had two UFO sightings in my life where I felt that the object or whatever it was somehow got into my head. I absolutely feel that way. It wasn't a clear conscious thing. On one occasion, I was simply walking with my family, and I said, "Hey, wouldn't it be cool if we looked up and saw a UFO?" And Shazam, there it was, something zooming across the sky. What are the odds? And it went behind a very thin patch of clouds, and it never came out from behind that cloud. My daughter, who was very young at the time, got a little nervous. I had another experience where I was watching this intensely bright object in the sky right where I live in Rochester, New York. And I had this crazy idea that if I turned away from this object, even for an instant, I would never see it again. It was an idea that made no sense. There was nowhere for this thing to hide. And yet for about 1 second, I turned away, and sure enough, it was gone. Crazy, 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 crazy. So I think that I'm getting back to this persons of interest thing here. There is a telepathic connection to these sightings. There have been so many UFO reports where a person will say, kind of like what I just said, I felt that this thing was responding to my thoughts and so forth. So what that means is that if you are someone of great psychic ability or gifts, it's my opinion that everyone's got some psychic ability and some are maybe kind of not that great, and others are real virtuosos with it. So if you were really excellent, you might be someone that they'd be interested in studying for whatever reason. And that would include by black budget people too, because they would know that a true understanding of psi phenomena is necessary for truly understanding this this UFO phenomenon. This has been a conclusion, by the way, that the intelligence community came to back in the 1950s. They understood that the mental aspects of UFOs, that's the words that they use, were key. And so it's my own theory that some of these individuals who are taken because they probably have psychic gifts.
Well, this, and that this these are of interest to me. Is there some kind of psychic defense that people have been ever able to put up to prevent themselves from being abducted?
There are people who claim that there are certain ways to defend yourselves against abduction. I have personally never encountered what I feel is truly persuasive evidence that this is possible. That's my opinion. There are people, there are Christians, a very large subgroup in the abduction research field are, let's say, Christian evangelicals. Surprising, because you'd think Christians would just look at all of the UFO phenomenon as either imaginary or as demonic. And actually, many of them look at it as demonic. That's their opinion. And it is also their contention that invoking the name of Jesus Christ will prevent the abduction. This is not my opinion, but I don't, whatever works, you know, works for you. So if it happens to work for you, I do think that what may be the case at times is that if you're dealing with what is ultimately a spiritual encounter, and some people believe that's really what's happening with abductions, then a very strongly held spiritual belief that tries to banish them, whether it's Christian or anything else, that maybe that's what's working. Again,
does that mean that
we don't really know the answers?
I wonder if aliens are actually part psychic themselves, and indeed actually have very similar stimuli, and indeed can be caused pain by human beings thinking certain things or saying certain words or whatever, you know. I wonder if anybody's ever made an alien laugh for that matter, you know. Tell them a joke, you know. Hey, bro, how do you patch up your broken spaceships? With abduct tape. We'll be right back after the break.
Look at me, driving and I won't stop. And it feels so good to be alive and on top. My reach is global, my tower secure. My cause is noble, my power is pure. I can hand out a million vaccinations. I'll let them all die in exasperation. Have them all healed from lacerations. Have them all killed by assassination. I can make anybody go to prison just because I don't like them. And I can do anything with no permission. I have it all under my command because I can guide a missile by satellite. By satellite, and I can hit a target through a telescope, through a telescope, through a telescope, and I can end the planet in a holocaust, 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 in a holocaust.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very special guest is Richard Dolan, and what are your thoughts on that statement that I made just before we got on a break about, you know, making aliens laugh or being able to communicate with them? Because there are a lot of people out there who believe that there is a positive alien agenda, you know, the Pleiades or something, and I don't know. Some people that I speak to about this, I don't know, it's like they make my head hurt, not because I don't believe what they're saying or anything like that. It seems to be this tonal thing, this tone of voice. this sort of ethereal, new agey sort of mumbo jumbo mumbling, if you know what I mean. And it actually irritates me to the point of stabbing myself in the head with a screwdriver to make it stop.
I know exactly what you mean, Vinny. Here in the States, and I just came from California, where that attitude rules. That's the dominant attitude. And, you know, I feel like in my own approach to that, I walk a fine line, because I do think that modern contemporary science does enable us to open the door to some of these crazy ideas about, you know, I got a psychic impression, or so-and-so is a channeler and you really need to listen to this. And I mean, this is really not the way my mind works. I work on the basis of evidence. I'm a historian and I'm a journalist. And that's really how you operate. That's obvious. And so I'm never comfortable with that type of information. That's really my fundamental issue. When you're dealing with alien intentions, are they good? Are they well disposed to us or not? That's just something that you really, no one I think is going to know for sure. The only thing we can do is glean as much information as we can from sources that we think we may trust, such as people have been abducted, or at least we think have been abducted, who may have something to say about it. You know, we're really going on our gut. I've not been inside an alien spaceship, not to my knowledge. I haven't spoken to an alien, to my knowledge. So I can't really tell you my impressions. What I can say that I think, just based on the, let's call it the data that's come to me, we'll call it that, that some of these beings are artificially created. My own opinion is that what we call the grays are at least in part artificially created organisms. And as crazy as that sounds, think about it. We're on the verge right now of being able to just do that ourselves. I think what actually is going to happen is we're probably 20, 30 years away from creating at the nanoscale, basically printing a kind of artificially intelligent organism, you know, right down from the level of DNA right on up. And I have a feeling that that's really what the grays are. My feeling is that these beings are able literally just to create a biological slash artificial organism to look like almost anything they want. And it very well may be that is why we see such a wide range of types, because they don't operate the way that we do. They don't operate on the basis of just standard evolutionary design. Why do they need to when they can just create whatever they want? Their psychology, you have some individuals who, during an abduction experience, will get an experience where this being comes right into their head. They feel like it peers right into their soul. It's a very unsettling experience. So it's like these entities are able to almost like shine a spotlight into the deepest recesses of your mind in a way that is very deeply upsetting to people. But that doesn't mean that these beings are evil or malicious. I mean, basically what you get is all types of descriptions. There are individuals who feel that they've been psychically or even physically raped, and you get people who feel that their encounters with these other beings have been absolutely positive, and that we're dealing with literally with our space brothers who are here to provide enlightenment and help humanity move to the next level of its development, and everything in between. Everything in between. It's so confusing, and I guess the main thing I would just tell people is be cautious. It's okay that we don't know certain things. We're still in a situation where we're kind of outmatched by this phenomenon. We don't like to see that, or we don't like to say that, but we are not in a position where we really are getting all of the information that we want. And my guess, by the way, is that the black budget world, sometimes what I refer to as the breakaway civilization that I do believe is managing this, I actually don't think that they have all of the answers either. I think that they may be trying, they may be scrambling, but I think that this reality is probably just beyond the horizon of what maybe even we are able to understand at this particular time. That may not be the case in another 50 years. As I was saying earlier, I'm trained as a historian, but I like to think about the future. And on that basis, I think that we're reinventing our entire civilization right now in terms of computing. We're doing like this off the charts exponential growth. So it's very possible in 30 years or maybe less, we'll actually have an ability to interact with these other beings in ways that we can't even imagine right now. That's a possibility. But right now, I think we're still definitely outmatched, and it's very hard. It's very hard to get definite information. Whenever I meet a researcher who acts as though they do, I have a really hard time giving them any credibility.
Mm. Well,
if that's the case, then if we don't really know, if there's some kind of a breakaway situation, it occurs to me that every civilization has some kind of underlying intention, whether it's clearly stated and put out in documents or not, that there'll always be certain individuals who will be at the top brass, as it were, who have their own thoughts and their own ideas that may or may not be sane entirely, and pursue those objectives regardless of its cost.
You're talking about individuals within an alien civilization. Is that what you're saying? Did I understand you correctly?
And or human.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. You know, regarding these aliens, it's not necessarily that they all follow a hive mind. And there may be, you know, a wide range of these individuals. There's a wide range of human beings. Why wouldn't there be a wide range of these other beings as well? I do want to finish my thought. I probably should have mentioned this earlier, but, you know, here I am saying that we really don't have a lot of knowledge, but I will just give you my feeling that we are probably dealing with a number of other groups that are able to be here and that are here observing us, very possibly with different agendas, not necessarily conflicting agendas, but they just may be interested in different things. Earth is a wonderful place. We have water, we have all kinds of great natural resources. We have this abundance of life and abundance of forms of DNA. And if you know how to manipulate DNA, this is a great place to be. And then there's humanity, which may have certain things of real interest to these other beings. I mean, aside from the fact that we're probably the greatest show in this quadrant of the galaxy right now, at this moment, as we're about to jump right into their world. But it has been suggested, and I just will put this out there, and I don't really know if it's true, because I don't think it's provable. But I chatted with a researcher over the last weekend who said, look, the reason that they're fascinated with us is because we have souls, and they don't. Well, is that really the case? I don't really know if that's the case. But I can say that there's something about humanity that could be very, very interesting to these other beings. If nothing else, our emotions. I think our emotions could be a truly fascinating thing for another species. Think of it this way. Let's say another species, they're so far advanced, they have mastered space-time in some way, and maybe from our perspective, they might almost seem omniscient. Well, if you're in that position, is it possible that you would actually be bored with reality? That maybe there wouldn't be any great mysteries. But what do we do? We exist within a space-time reality where we're still in the process of exploring. And that could be a very interesting thing for other beings who, I mean, it's a crazy thought, but they might be getting their rocks off by just looking at us vicariously and thinking, wow, those humans are pretty interesting. It's like, you know, this section of the universe's best reality show. I wonder.
I think that in the end, everything comes back to the beginning. And human beings, despite the fact that we're already here and we've figured out so much stuff and have all this cool technology and whatnot, there are still many people who are still looking into the origins of our life, how technology came about and what its effect is and so on and so forth. So it's not outside of the realms of possibility that an intelligent extraterrestrial species would be looking at us as though we were an earlier version of themselves in order to learn about themselves.
Yeah, right, exactly. I think it's a possibility. You know, going through the many, many abduction reports that we have, I don't really feel that we get a completely consistent story. What we get are variations. There are stories, for example, of human-looking and non-human-looking captors working together. There's a number of these. Probably the best known of them is the famous Travis Walton case. And I happen to know Travis very well. This is a case known as the Fire in the Sky case. As a young man in the 70s, he's hit with a beam of blue light. And his friends who are there, they take off. They think he's dead. Anyway, he's gone for 5 days. This is all that happened. He was gone for 5 days. And his memory, such as it is of non-human and human being, human-looking beings on the same craft, apparently working together. Now, how does that make any sense? Can that be true? And if so, then who are they? What is their origin? How did all of this happen? We don't have any answers for this. We have no answers. What we have are just theories. That's all I can do is come up with theories. And I have a few, but, you know, I have no knowledge.
Could you divulge? I mean, hypothetically speaking, mm-hmm. why would non-human entities be working with human-like entities?
Well, best reason I can think of is that thousands of years ago, some of them arrived here and they thought, well, if we deal with these humans directly, we're going to scare the hell out of them. So let's scoop up our own group. We'll breed them. We'll genetically enhance them. We'll put little chips in them and we'll make them so that they can really work with us and so that they actually have nothing in common with those natives on the planet, except that they'll look like them and they won't freak them out so much. And that's actually what I think. So when you get stories of humans encountering the so-called blonde Nordic type of ET, which you may have heard of, this is one of the big kind of themes in abduction literature, I think that's a possibility. That's what we're dealing with. As I mentioned earlier in the show, I had a couple of conversations with individuals who encountered totally human-looking beings, but who were so intensely telepathic that it just seemed unlikely that these were normal human beings and that they actually may have been these types of beings. One of the sources for this was a retired U.S. Air Force colonel and a PhD who had such an encounter with his wife in a Las Vegas casino. Another source was a woman, a very nice kind of middle-class suburban lady, talking with her and her husband. She told me of a story when she was at church as a teenager way back in the 60s, encountering two beautiful blonde male-female in her church, dressed impeccably, and she heard them in her mind. She heard them in her mind, just like this colonel heard this other perfect blonde couple in his mind in this Las Vegas casino. What's going on with these stories? In both cases, the couples were thinking to each other, and in both cases, the female of the couple was able to determine that they were being listened to by the human. And in the case of the colonel, that this woman basically thought to him, said, just go away. You have nothing to do with us. This is none of your need to know. Beat it. And then he heard them thinking about him, saying, well, he's not part of the program. He has no need to be part of it. Just ignore him. He's not important. The woman in her church basically had the same type of encounter. She's watching these two people in front of her in the church, and they're literally, she says, she heard them in her mind, and they're thinking, well, it seems like we're fitting in here pretty well, except the girl behind us can hear us. That's literally what she heard. At the end of that church service, by the way, they got out really fast. She decided to follow them. Now, she was a 15-year-old girl. Her mother was oblivious to the whole situation and was calling after her, but she kept going, and she saw them go into the woods with this very odd-looking man, a very tall-looking fellow, and they all went into the woods.
Were they all tall, blonde aliens, eh? I wonder if they've ever, tried to abduct any tall, blonde celebrities or something like that. Or maybe they don't abduct people who already have their own implants. We'll be right back after the break at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's our final segment here with Richard Dolan, and we've got a lot of things to get through in this last segment. Firstly, to wrap up that story with the tall blondies.
Well, it's a fascinating story. It's just regarding the Air Force colonel who told me. Well, essentially, what happened was he was with his wife and a psychic friend of theirs in a Las Vegas casino, one of the nice ones. And the psychic grabbed his arm, pointed to this beautiful blonde woman. Of course, Vegas has a lot of beautiful blonde women, but this one was somehow different. And she said, she's not like us. She's not human. And that woman, the psychic, and his wife went down an escalator and they were scared. He's watching the blonde woman, and she, that's when he hears her thinking into his head. She's saying, go away, just beat it, you have nothing to do here. And she's then joined by an equally beautiful blonde man. They're obviously a couple. They walk down the escalator, and he gets behind them, and he's hearing them think the whole time. He's not part of the program. He has no need to know, et cetera, et cetera. Just ignore him. Then they walk away. He was this psychic friend of his, also did hypnotherapy, and they agreed that she was going to put him through hypnotherapy so he could remember all of the things that they were telling him that this blonde couple were talking about. So they go there a couple of days later to this psychic woman's home, and she's trying to regress him. He's lying down on a couch, and they're hearing all of this bizarre noise outside her house, which lives at a dead end, and it's almost always quiet. They're hearing jackhammers and helicopters and construction equipment. They go outside, and there's nothing there. They were not able to do the regression that day. He says, no problem. I'm going to be back in your area next month, and let's do it then. She said, fine. A month later, he calls this psychic friend of his. He said, look, I'm going to be in town tomorrow. How about we do that regression? And she, according to this colonel and his wife, who was there telling me the same story, this friend of theirs had no recollection whatsoever of the encounter. She had no recollection that she had tried to do a regression a month before. She had no recollection of the blonde couple in the Vegas casino, nothing. It was as if someone was monitoring her and they wiped her memory. Chilling story. Who did the memory wipe? Was it the blonde telepathic beings, or was it some covert black ops group? Your guess is as good as mine.
There's been a lot of stories that there are aliens actually working with the U.S. government. I believe I had a guest on said when he was working on an Air Force base or something real close to Area 51, that there were these tall white aliens kind of thing that they were working with.
Very similar. That's Charles Hall.
Yeah, yeah.
And yes, I'm certainly familiar with his story. This is a type of theme, an idea that is out there. It just will not go away.
Mm-hmm. Now, speaking of the things that will not go away, you're certainly not going away at all by any means. And in fact, you're rebrandishing yourself to a degree. Your website's changing from keyholepublishing.com, which is now directed to the new website, richarddolanpress.com. And what many people won't be aware of is that you actually publish a lot of other researchers' books, for example, Eve Lorgan's book.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's right.
On top of that, you've got your own radio show, the Richard Dolan Show on KGRA, which is kgraradio.com. And you've even got a new book in the works. And I'd like to spend the last couple of minutes that we have here divulging to the audience a little bit of a teaser, a preamble, if you will, as to what your new book is about and when it might be released so people can get their hands on it.
Yeah, thank you, Vinny. I do publish books by other fabulous authors, and all of that information, you can just go to richarddolanpress.com and you could look those up. I'm very proud of those works, and I'm proud of the fact those authors want to come to me to have me publish their work. It does me honor. I continue to stay very busy. There will eventually be a third volume in my history of UFOs in the national security state. I'm very dedicated to doing that. But right now I've got a new book that's coming out that I'm very excited about, and it's called UFOs for the 21st Century Mind. And I would say think of it as a fresh new introduction to the entire field. If you have a friend who's a skeptic on UFOs and you want to give them one good book on the subject to get them really immersed in it, I would suggest that this is the book. Or just any individual who wants to get a contemporary, fresh approach to the entire subject of UFOs. So not simply the history, not simply ancient aliens to modern UFOs, not simply the politics of the cover-up, but I have all of those in there, not simply the experience of abduction and contact, although that's in there, and I have a lot of analyses of that whole phenomenon. But also the science of the UFOs. In other words, everything that makes this subject fascinating, from propulsion science right up through the science of consciousness itself and space-time. I try to handle all of those issues in a fresh way so that when someone is just getting into this field and they really want to know what matters and what does not matter in this field. This is really my attempt to do so. I have a whole section on philosophy of what actually constitutes a UFO, particularly in an era of drones everywhere and unmanned aerial vehicles. How do you really know what is a UFO? How do we not lose our heads in an era of YouTube videos that are going out by the thousands of UFOs, or the latest Facebook rumor that's copied and pasted onto your wall? How do we think critically in this era? And then I have a chapter that really deals with the future, the disclosure era. How will we get to disclosure and what next? I did write a book about that, but I continue to refine my thoughts on that. So really what this is, it's a book that deals with the sum total of the UFO phenomenon, not any one little section, but it does it, I think, in a sophisticated way, at least I like to think it is, and also in a way that reads well. It's a nice 300-page book. It's not a big, fat 600-page book like my histories are, which I think might tend to intimidate someone every now and then. This is a nice, slim, but a meaty book nonetheless. And it will be out in about a month. Earlier this afternoon, before I talked with you, I was in the process of doing final edits to the very final chapter.
It's this close. Really, to coming out. What was the name of the book again? I've got down here, UFOs for the 21st Century Mind. Is that the title?
That's exactly it. And unless I change it at the last minute, but that's what I've been settled on for a while. Yeah, it's basically now, understanding an old phenomenon in a new era, which is what we're on. We're in a new era.
I wonder what would happen to humanity if disclosure actually happens. I mean, would people freak out or would they just be like everything else that happens nowadays? You've seen so many movies, you've watched so many TV shows that when it comes out and says that it's real, they just go, yeah.
Well, we could talk about this for 2 hours easily, Vinny. I think you would get some freak out without a doubt. Look, I don't know about you, but I have relatives and I know that I love them, but some of them would just not handle this very well. Others would. But the real issue is not whether people individually spaz out or not. The real issue has to do with the implications of the truth coming out and how that would truly rock our world. In other words, just imagine, all right, that something happens that forces the hand of the United States president to make an admission, either a major sighting or some kind of WikiLeaks type of event where something sensitive comes out and it cannot be denied. I think that we're moving closer and closer toward that type of a situation where his hand will be forced. So if it is forced, a couple of things. One, you can be sure he's going to lie his ass off about it to the extent that he has to control spin and to maintain control over the situation. Yes, obviously. But even so, it's going to be very difficult to contain this. People will want to know, A, who are we dealing with? He may not have answers for that. Then they'll want something that he should be able to answer, which is, how the hell did you keep this secret all these years? How have you managed our media, our journalists, our academic world, our scientists, our political institutions?
And then they'll come out and they'll say, well, actually, we've got Department of Defense people in every single major newsroom across the United States controlling and spinning what stories we tell them to do.
Yes, that's right. Or it will come out. And I like to think people will be angry when the depths and the magnitude of this criminality of cover-up is exposed. I think that a lot of heads are going to roll, or at least, at the very least, what will happen, because, part of my country is just brain-dead zombies, but part of it isn't. And there will be people who are going to be fighting to get to the bottom of this, and they will be fighting for some measure of justice. And so the real issue post-disclosure politically, this is only one of many issues, will be how that all works out. Will the White House spin machine end up dominating the issue, or will independent journalists finally get enough of a hearing that will actually force a kind of, forget Occupy Wall Street, how about Occupy Area 51, Occupy the White House, Occupy Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, Occupy the Federal Reserve, because all other kinds of secrets are going to be coming out. People will realize you lied to us about UFOs. Hey, maybe you did lie to us about 9/11, and maybe all those people have been talking about the Fed basically completely dominating our currency with debt-based monetary system. Maybe those people are right too. In other words, disclosure can trigger a new version of the 1960s on like steroids. That's one thing. The implications go on for science. They go on for spirituality. They go on for culture. Well, I think what you'll see is young people, particularly around the world, who are going to opt out of this old system of lies. They're going to say, you know what? I don't believe your reality. It'll be like the 60s in that regard. Hmm. But there'll be a scientific revolution as well. We're really, what disclosure can do, disclosure has the potential, UFO disclosure, to be the sledgehammer that slams open all the other secrets, if we're lucky.
All right. Well, thank you very much for coming on, and I hope you've enjoyed your little stint on the Vinnie Eastwood show there, Richard. It's been a pleasure having you.
It was a cool experience, my man.
Mm-hmm. I like to think so. Now, his website is richarddolanpress.com. That's richarddolanpress.com. That's Dolan, like D-O-L-A-N, not like the Limp Bizkit song, Dolan, Dolan, Dolan. And you can check out his radio show at kgraradio.com as well. Richard Dolan, my pleasure. Thank you very much. And we'll see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen. Please go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com, make a donation, or subscribe to make a regular donation so that we can keep shows like this and many others coming at you every single day. See you again sometime.